Let me convene the Budget Committee meeting for Monday, May 3rd, 2021.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion to move items number 7 and 8, to the very front of the agenda, so they would be the new items 1 and 2.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion to move items 7 and 8, executive session and post-executive session, to items 1 and 2, so then we would come back and approve the minutes and everything.
Correct. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. Is there, and just to dispel any rumors, that's to accommodate a time schedule, so everybody can participate. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor of amending the agenda as stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the agenda is amended. Hang on just a second. And that was unanimous. Okay, so we are at item 1 now, which is executive session for personnel matters, the discussion of employee performance assessment. Is there a motion that we go into executive session for that purpose?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All right. If this vote passes, council would be going into executive session to discuss personnel matters, discussion of performance assessment, and upon reconvening, the council may take, or the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are in executive session. We're going into the courtroom.
Yes, courtroom B.
I don't know what else I need.
Warmed up in here a little bit. All right, we have reconvened, and that was item number 2 on the amended agenda, is post-executive session. No votes were cast, no action was taken in that. This moves us to the old item 1, which is now item 3. Which is approval of the minutes of the March 31st, 2021 meeting.
Do we have approval.
Have a motion second. To approve and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Minutes are approved. Item 4, public comments. If you're here from the public to make a comment, please come to the lectern, give your name and address, and you have 2 minutes, please. Anyone? Anyone for public comments? None? All right. Seeing none, we will move forward. Item 5 is review and approval of fiscal year 2022 budget revenues and expenditures.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, members of council. Circling back around from the original budget presentation through committees and back to this moment, have a brief presentation to sort of recap and review where we are. Ms. Kotob will help me with it here as well. But the budget that you have, the budget's been proposed, reviewed by committee, it's consistent with your direction and where you'd like for this town to go in the future. Not only does it reflect the priorities of the comprehensive plan, but also the strategic plan. You know what those focus areas are, resilience, quality of life, neighborhoods, things like that. The budget incorporates your commitments of council, namely the Medal of Honor Heritage Center at a level of $600,000. It maintains your levels of service. It houses the new restructuring, and it adds some areas where we've improved our service, namely 3 additional firefighters, which makes 15 firefighters over the last 3 years. Also takes care of mandates, which was the Business License Standardization Act, as well as the state pension, 1% increase. And as I'll mention in 1 second, it also anticipates the post-pandemic economy. We just don't know how much we'll recover or how fast we'll recover. And so we utilize things like a dedicated reserve in our non-departmental account that is flexible and can be opened up as economic conditions continue to improve. But you'll see here, all funds together, the total at the bottom is almost $114,500,000. It's considerably down from the prior year. That's mostly due to the capital asset fund. That $130 million number, you know, is where we're housing the money for our capital projects that are getting ready to be deployed. It rolls over into the current year until that money goes out the door. That is the biggest difference. Up at the general fund, that you know is the lion's share of our operations, we show a reduction of about $7 million. But that $7 million doesn't entirely tell the story. That is the product of your last decision, your last budget amendment, which incorporated some federal money, some COVID money that came in several months back, that pushed. It was reimbursements for expenses we had during the pandemic, and that pushed that general fund number to 98. The number that you approved actually at the start of the new fiscal year was 93.2 million. So between that number and the 91.8 million proposed, it's down about 1.3 million, or a decrease of 1.4%. There we go. And revenues, Marcy's going to hit them real fast, and I'll come back for the expenditures.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. So overall, the general fund from 2021 to fiscal year 2022 is anticipated to decrease. As Mr. DeMore said, a lot of that you'll see under the fund balance usage, which reflects the fund balance policy where we sent money to the infrastructure fund and also the recognition of some federal dollars. Property and other taxes, that is projected to increase 3.5%. The increase in the property tax itself is driving that increase. It reflects the reassessment that happened in 2020 with the rollback of our millage rate. It also reflects home sales in 2019 that lost their appraisal cap and came up to market value. The other factor in that is our local option sales tax. We had our property tax decreasing slightly because we had a liability we needed to pay back. We did, and that liability was to our residents. We did. So all of that is driving property tax to itself to be increasing. In business license taxes, we are anticipating a decrease of 14%. And that's due to our July collection of taxes that will, most of them are calculated and will be based on 2020 revenues. And we know a lot of them were hit hard with that. So we have already anticipated that decrease. July, we'll know how good our forecasts are. I'm going to say it's great, but just going to say. In the budget, as Mr. DeMore says, it does anticipate a safe grant for three additional firefighters, and that would add those on the expenditure side he discussed, and also a transfer in from state accommodations tax of $600,000 for that commitment he also mentioned to the Medal of Honor Museum.
Thank you, Marcy.
Let me ask a quick question on property taxes.
Yes, sir.
Remind me, if everyone who does a residence as a short-term rental, are they all taxed at a 6% as a non-owner-occupied rate?
If it's their residence that they're renting out, it is a residence. If it is a second home, then it would be the 6% rate. So it depends how they're structured.
Okay, thank you.
I also have a question. Can we go back to the page before?
Yes.
Did we get to the, there we go. You went to state and federal grants. Then did we do intergovernmental, or you just kind of summarized?
I just summarized, yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay. Is intergovernmental where the 1% that comes from, we brought it up in today's meeting, so is that where the 1% from Mount Pleasant Waterworks is housed?
Yes, ma'am. We do a budget or estimate each year for Mount Pleasant Waterworks and intergovernmental.
Okay, because there's an item in intergovernmental, and it's the only one I can find, and it says local miscellaneous. Is that the one?
The local miscellaneous, yes, ma'am, it is in there. Is okay. It like 400 and
it's 583.
This year's was 400 and something.
Correct.
Because okay. I had to leave a meeting with it in my pocket one night, and I was scared to death.
So this is the actual for 2020. So the budgeted for this year actually doesn't show unless I'm looking at the wrong thing. No, I'm not.
So intergovernmental, we have the school district in there, the maintenance agreement with SCDOT, the state shared revenues.
So it's under state shared revenues?
I'm looking for, gosh. Be easier to find the amount. I can't see it. You, Tammy, do you see it? If you'll give me just a second.
Sure, okay. Well, I mean, I'm almost going to do.
In federal, I thought it was under government. Oh, I apologize. It's located under licenses and permits because, like other franchise fees, it comes in through that revenue. Where we have public utility licenses, you see the 6.5 million?
Mm-hmm.
That's Dominion, Berkeley, and Mount Pleasant Water Works.
Great. And the number is like 400, what she said, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I think the 1% this year was just under 4 plus something.
Right. And it typically grows 30 to 40,000 a year.
Right.
Okay.
Or has.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So if I could have your attention on the pie chart, this is a good example of where every dollar is spent in town. If you add up police and fire, two critical services there, that's about a third of every dollar. Add in public services, you know, the critical work that they do, we're close to about 50% of every dollar. And if you add in something like non-departmental, which houses, say, $2 million to keep the streetlights on, that brings us to about two-thirds of the budget, or two-thirds of every dollar that goes to those critical core items. And that doesn't include what it takes to run a municipal court, or your recreation department, or even your engineering and development services, which is over here, which houses your building inspectors and plan reviewers, another critical function. And how does the budget shake out by line item? You'll see a lot of negatives here. I'll explain why. General government is up just a little bit, mostly due to expenses for the election that's coming in November. Municipal court is flat. Legal is down considerably due to expert fees and litigation fees we just don't anticipate needing this year. Planning department is down close to 20%. We transferred out due to the restructuring many positions. I think it was 19 total. Non-departmental, police, fire are down just a little bit. And let me stop there and mention why. We have 23 frozen positions that are still frozen, but the money is housed in non-departmental. And they'll be released dependent upon the economy. Public safety will be released first. 6 frozen positions in police, 5 in fire, and 5 in public services. Also held over in non-departmental is the second portion of a wage plan, wage recommendation for employees at 4%. 2% is going July 1. The other 2% is also held in non-departmental, depending on the economy. We expect all that to be fine, and when it is, we'll release particularly those public safety positions as well as the second half of the wage increase. Engineering and development services has the largest increase. That's because most of the employees, stormwater-related engineers, plan review is inspectors, were all transferred into that department. And recreation has a similar situation to law enforcement. And then your transfers out on the general fund side is money that goes to capital projects, it goes to your capital maintenance around town. And so, happy to answer any questions that you have, or we're ready, if you are, to send a recommendation from Budget Committee on the council.
Let me ask one question before we open up. Just after going through committees, were there any major changes by any committees, significant changes to any of the departmental ones?
I don't recall any.
You? Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, I sat through most of them. I don't remember any major changes.
All right. Council members?
Yes, sir. Ms. Rambo.
I would like to ask about if there's any money in the budget potentially for a lobbyist. I know we've had one in the past to lobby the state legislature. Just in water supply meeting a second ago, we were talking about some of the issues surrounding the septic tanks and so anyway, just brought up again, and we've had a number of issues this year as well where I feel like it would be good to have a lobbyist again on our side in Columbia, so I don't know if that's in there.
It is.
Okay.
We have $18,000 budgeted for that purpose. We don't have a lobbyist right now, but it's included in the budget in anticipation that council may believe this is necessary, and if so, the money's there.
Okay.
So the money is there. Okay.
Thank you.
You're not supposed to hear that.
But if it's council's will, we could go ahead and start recruiting for a lobbyist too. Get some RFQs out there and get some requests in that we can start reviewing.
We got some time. The legislative session is almost up anyway, so.
14th, I think.
Mm-hmm. We can wait till after the.
18th. 18th.
Yeah, so ideally it would be, I mean, my idea.
By January.
Yeah, by next session, we would have one identified and work on it this summer.
I think so, too.
Put something out there. Yeah.
Any others?
I have a question. On frozen positions for public safety, and I'll just be specific with the fire ones, is the ones that we have the money set aside but frozen, is that not including the three that we're hiring through the SAFER grant?
That's right. The additional three is in addition to already approved.
Okay, so we will have the three additional and then, okay, the potential for more. Okay, thank you.
Any others? So you're looking for a motion. This will be our second pass at this.
Yes.
At the whole notebook. So if there's a motion, this will then go to council for approval. Would it be this Tuesday or do we wait till June? I think one year we did it in June.
It'd
be this Tuesday.
If council's ready, happy to take a final approval on that. And that might be good, sir, because once we get this budget behind us, then we can really start focusing on what to do with the federal money.
Okay.
That may be coming in.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd be happy to make a motion to be approved the 2022 budget as described by staff.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you.
Well, go ahead.
All right.
All right, our next item, which is new number 6, is a resolution making declaration of intent to enter into lease purchase agreement.
Yes, sir. In the fiscal year 2022 budget is a lease purchase of large equipment and vehicles. This one is for 7 years because of some of the size of the vehicles. This year, besides what has already been shown to you through each committee for each department's vehicles, we also have an engine truck. The engine truck was budgeted in fiscal year 2021 to be paid for by special revenues. However, special revenues have been hard hit. So we postponed that and it's now incorporated into this lease purchase. So it's for a lease purchase for $3.6 million and it's for 7 years.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we approve the resolution as described by staff.
Second.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a second. We are in discussion. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you. Item 7 is a resolution to adopt the capital improvement plan for fiscal years 22 through 26.
So this resolution would adopt the 5-year plan. Year 1 of the plan is incorporated and funded in the fiscal year 2022 budget that you just approved. Overall, what's shown on the screen are the projects that are within the 5 years. Besides these projects, we also intend to begin construction design on the Jones Center and the Park West Pool.
Oh, good. Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we approve that resolution as well as described by staff.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. We are in discussion.
The only discussion I have is,
yes, sir.
As you know, during the Transportation Committee, there were a couple projects that we thought were going to be started in 2021.
One. Right.
But it looks like they've been pushed out to November, which is our 2022 budget. How does that resolve with what we're approving here for the 2022 budget year.
Sir, hopefully at town council, at second reading of the budget ordinance, there's language in the budget ordinance that you would also approve that carries over any capital project that is not yet complete to the new year.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up since we had that discussion during transportation committee.
Good, yes, sir.
I had thought Carolina Park Phase 3 we had already fully funded.
Yes, sir. So what this represents is the anticipation that if there is a memorandum of understanding with the school district, this would represent the funding potentially that they would give us to build the ball field at Cario. So we had to increase the overall budget. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you.
Need that pool fixed bad.
All right. CIP. This would be item 8. Discussion and possible action regarding a tiered rate stormwater utility fee.
Terrible.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello. How are you doing, Mr. Mayor? Thank you very much. Good evening, members of town council. This is a continuation of a discussion that's been before you a number of times, different levels of committee. This began back in the council retreat back in January. Staff was tasked with looking at our current financial condition of our stormwater utility program and also looking at incorporating a tiered rate system where smaller homes pay a little bit less, larger homes pay a little bit more. We've, in the past couple of committee meetings, we really focused in on the tiered. We presented this to the finance committee. At that time, there was a consensus reached on the tiered rate system. So we have that in place. And then the next component is the financial solvency of the program. One thing to remember is the tiered rate is a net neutral outcome. So even though we do have a tiered rate program that is able to be implemented, it does not change the current financial projections of the program. So this is the second part of that scope. With me today is Tara Hollis. She's joining us virtually as well, and Tara will be able to help us out if there's any questions, as well as Brad Morrison. He's been very much involved from the very beginning. Now, looking at our current projection, we have a positive fund balance up until 2024, where it goes into the negative. And then, as you see on the graph, it continues to compound over the next 10 years. That's if we stay at a $60 ERU rate. What we've put together are five scenarios. Scenario one is the bare bones, just keeping the program solvent barely. And then scenario five is going to be the most aggressive. So as I go through the scenarios, it'll kind of trend up a little bit in aggressiveness. But the scenario one is what we call the just in time. This is keeping everything constant for all three tiers up until 2024. And at that point, there's an increase of about 30%. And then from there, it continues to increase incrementally every year, 1.5% for inflationary adjustments. One thing to note about this is that tier one, which is the smaller units, they don't actually exceed what they're currently paying now until 2025. So they actually see a benefit for the next couple of years. And then in 2025, they actually exceed the $60 per ERU at that point. Also in the graph, you'll see this black line. That's a constant line that shows you the 90-day operation and maintenance expense revenue fund. That's our target of keeping the program solvent, or keeping the program functioning and sustainable and meeting what needs to meet. So that line doesn't change through the different scenarios. The next scenario, scenario two, is holding everything constant for tier one. That's if you have a smaller unit, you don't pay anything else above than what you're paying right now. Tier 2 and Tier 3 are calculated up from that $60. There's a percentage increase, a 50% increase, and then a 100% increase for Tier 3. As you see, the graph has changed now. It's more front-end loaded. But over time, it incrementally goes down because of not being adjusted for inflationary measures. So over time, it actually does go back down and meet the very minimum of 90 days, the operation and maintenance expense. So we really wouldn't have any additional funds to do anything with. There would be some money generated, but it would need to be front-end loaded to meet that 10-year operation expense if we want to keep the program solvent. So that's scenario two. Scenario three shows the phased-in approach, where this is a situation of the next year, 2022, we increase the rates 25%, and then it stays constant for 5 years up until 2027, and then it increases another 20%. So that's why the graph goes down and goes up. Is it doesn't adjust for inflationary measures, but there will be an increase in 2022 and another in 2027. One thing to note about this setup is that the Tier 1, the residents that would be in Tier 1 do not increase their ERUs until 2027, where they go to $67.50 per year. This would give us some room to do some small level micro projects because of the you would have that additional surplus above that O&M line there. So stepping it up a little bit more aggressively, this is scenario four. You would have this is the incremental, or this is the front end loaded, where you do have a 50% increase in tier two. That would be your one ERU. It moves from 60 to 90, and 125% increase of from tier three, from 60 to 135. Tier one will increase initially at 2022, but as you see from the graph, it really has a much higher surplus in revenue that's being generated. This would actually give us a number of medium-sized projects and a few large projects that we can actually accomplish and resolve with this setup. Scenario five is it's very similar to scenario four. You have a 20% jump initially, where you go from $60 to $75 in tier two, and then every year is a five-year increment. So as you can see, as those five-year increments start to accumulate, in 2031, you actually have enough to meet our needs-based recommendation from the 2014 Stantec report. So again, the scenario one is the bare bones, just barely meeting the minimum requirement, and then scenario five is your most aggressive scenario. And you'll see that when we stand them up in this bar chart next to each other, we got the first three scenarios. You could really see where the yellow is the minimum, and there's a fairly significant difference between that and scenario two and three. The two more aggressive scenarios, scenario four and five, you can see where it does, and scenario five does increase significantly as the time wears on when you do add that $5 per year, which comes up to about 42 cents a month for that. And this just shows you all of them together next to each other. It just kind of gives you a picture of the variation between the two over a 10-year period. So you'll see the benefits of the four and five scenarios much greater than the other scenarios. Hopefully that helps. So,
yes, sir. Can you go back just real quickly? Let me.
Which one?
I'd like to say number two, scenario two.
And one.
And what?
And one.
And one.
It was a lot.
Let's do one and two.
start out with one.
It's a lot to, it's a lot to process.
Okay. Yeah, this is the bare minimum staff would recommend.
So in scenario one, I guess one of the things I'm trying to figure out, if you're in tier one, right?
Sir.
Yours goes down from 60 down to $45 the first effective year.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Do we know the breakdown between tiers one, two, and three in terms of numbers of residents or?
Yes, sir, we do.
Okay. Am I missing that? Is it on here? I'm bad.
We did not include that because we had the we were focusing in on the second part of this, but we can definitely get you those numbers. But it comes up to a net neutral situation where we have just as many in the one tier as we do in the higher tier. So financially, it would be a zero neutral scenario. I just don't have those numbers right in front of me.
How are tiers measured?
All right. So let's go to tier.
Yes.
Two. I mean, I'm sorry. Scenario two.
Cut off. Sorry.
It's the overhead square footage.
So in scenario two, everybody in tier one stays at $60
in tier one
for the next 10 years.
Yes, sir. This is the holding. They pay no more than what they're paying currently right now, and the residents in tier two and tier three, they get the increase, not the smaller residents or the smaller homes.
Can somebody, I've probably got it in here, roughly tell us the difference between the size house or whatever in the tiers?
Yes, sir. First tier is 0 to 1,300 square feet.
What? 0
to 1,300. That's the break point. And from 1,300 is 3,300 square feet. And then 33 and beyond is tier three. I'm sorry, I don't have the total number.
That's but, okay.
Tera
so
made.
Tier three is 3,300 feet and up.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And this is based purely on house size. It has nothing to do with lot size or ratio of lot size to house size.
We ran through that analysis with the finance committee. We did a sample size of over 200 random places in a. Places in Mount Pleasant, lot size, compared that to the square foot area of the home, and there was a correlation between the actual larger houses and the more impervious surface. So those variables we looked at very carefully, and it was decided that the most beneficial and most logical would be the square foot area. We have reliable data from Charleston County that gives us that annually, and it made the most sense, and that would be the most practical application of the tiered system is basing it upon square foot area of building.
Okay.
Yes.
Two things. When I was trying to find it, I know it's in one of our links in one of our committee meetings in the last few months, but couldn't quite put my fingers on it. Couple things. One was I do remember it was a very extensive study of why it would just be so much more costly to put together the database information to provide impervious surface as the measuring tool. As much as that sounds like the ideal, I like it because it gives people an incentive to, you know, change driveways to too permeable and things of that nature. But it's just too costly. The potential for making it more fair or whatever you want to call it is completely counteracted or destroyed by the cost. So this did make the most sense. I want to just say that I know several of us, although I did miss that was the one vote I've ever missed, which since I've been on council, which was the county adjustment, death in the family that day. But one of the things that we all felt strongly about, and I know Councilman Chapman mentioned it several times, was that we were hoping this would come through at the same time, so that while some people might see an increase in their debt service part, the overall millage rate would have gone down, and the increase they might have seen based on their property being worth more would be offset by this fee going down. The only way that happens is with scenario one, if I'm reading this correctly. And the other thing about scenario one, if we could go back to that one for a minute, is that while it is, you know, barely covering what that line says, the 90-day O&M expenses reserve fund minimum target, it does, in fact, over 10 years reached that and exceeded a little bit. And my concern, if we raise beyond that, is that, one, we're not accomplishing what we said in terms of offsetting for a lot of folks. I don't know that it's a dollar-for-dollar offset, if we, because we're only talking about a difference here of 14 and something dollars a year for people. But at least the idea that we're lowering their so-called fees or taxes in one place, even if we're having to raise for others. But at the same time, I also think that 10 years is a long time to be projecting out costs. And yes, they could go up a whole lot, and we can address that as time goes on. But I think making a decision now that means people have to pay a lot more right off the bat, or even $60 more is a lot to some people. So I kind of favor scenario one.
Would it be proper math, just for comparison's sake, that tier three, 3,300 square foot home, I guess we're talking to council, I don't see any appraisers in the room. You think we could ballpark that if there's a home that size in Mount Pleasant, the minimum square foot value is probably about $300? That would be pretty conservative, wouldn't it? And by today's time. So you're looking at a 900, and I'm just simply looking at tier three for value's sake. You're looking at 3,300 times 300.
Yeah, $1 million.
Excuse me. 3,300 times 300 is just under $1 million. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a $990,000 house, who's, you know, in time, list scenario two is up there now. It's going to go up by $60 a year, from 60 to 120. That's under scenario two. I'm not advocating one over the other. I just needed to get a perspective on that. So all of your, basically, your tier three houses are going to be basically at least $1 million homes.
Yes, sir. It's fair.
And on the other end, 1,300, and again, we don't know how many of them would fall into that. Those are going to be 300 and something thousand dollar homes. So just under four. So that's just for comparison's sake. Obviously, tier two would be somewhere in the middle.
Can you go back to scenario one more time? Can we go back to scenario one more time?
I guess the question I would have is, if we pass a scenario as a council right now in May of 21, what's to stop us later, you know, with new economic data next year, year after, or whatever, cost, like Councilmember Landing mentioned, from reevaluating and changing that? There's really nothing, is there? It's not like our millage rate, where we're required at a certain time to reassess or roll back or anything like that. This is our own thing, and we have flexibility. So we could take the one that we have the most support for this year and pass a basic thing and then change it later if we had to. But what we really can't do, if you go back to the very first chart, is we really can't do nothing, because we're looking at...
That's correct. Who you would be draining resources from other areas.
Okay. I'll just mention that one of the things, and remind me which... I guess it was flood resilience that we had this conversation about doing a tiered rate is the most unfair way to do something, is just change everybody's flat rate. That's a very regressive type of tax, and we wanted to get away from that and look at. Of course, we haven't passed anything that has tiered rates, but it is more balanced and more fair, because I know I personally have a hard time raising the stormwater fee on a $350,000 house the exact same amount that I do on a $2 million house.
Right.
So that's just sort of the philosophy behind how we got here. Do we need to pass this with the budget?
No, sir. It does make sense that it runs together.
Right.
And if we send out,
23,000 and then.
It would make more sense to send it. It's certainly less complicated to do it sooner rather than later.
I agree. I was just going to posit the idea. I would like to look at this a little bit, talk to some folks, and maybe we do it at our June meeting, get our budget, just concentrate on our whole big budget, for May, get that passed Tuesday, and bring this back next month. And I know I want to crunch some numbers. I don't know how y'all feel. I just don't grasp it that quickly. Yes, sir. Ms. Ramp.
Can you fast forward to any one of this? Yeah, that one. Couple quick questions. One, vacant means there's nothing built on that property?
That's correct.
So why would their fees go up? Doesn't a vacant property really actually help with stormwater? I just don't feel like that makes a whole
it doesn't
whole lot of sense.
Stormwater, because it's not expanding the impervious surface. But yes, sir, you're correct.
I mean, it's like we got trees, and it's probably soaking up some water. Really,
it's an inflationary adjustment. It's an inflationary adjustment. It's built into the program to go up 1.5%.
Well, yeah, occasionally there are properties
like the Miller
property.
Track right there is mostly paved, but it's technically vacant, I think, too. So,
And then also, yes, I know that the kind of mystery. These federal funds, and we don't know exactly what the rules are with that. I feel like there's a decent chance that stormwater projects could be funded with that, and is the increase necessary if we can use some of those funds for stormwater projects?
It's an excellent question. The key difference is this is mostly affecting operations, whereas those federal funds you may target towards an important project you can't reach, capital project. This is the day-to-day operations of the stormwater program around town.
Okay, and then just a general comment is I see the need, but I really hesitate towards basically locking in an annual tax increase for the next 10 or 11 years. It just seems, I don't know, it doesn't seem right to me to do it that way. I think council should have to vote every time the fees get increased.
Mr. Chapman?
Well, Mayor, I'm glad to see that what I had suggested several months ago has come to fruition. I felt just generally that it had to work that way, but now it's been proven that it does work that way. I'm not sure whether I'm married to scenario one or two, but I think those two are probably the most reasonable. Anything beyond there, I think, is a little bit over the top. I could be talked into scenario two simply because the people in tier one don't change. They change very little in scenario two, actually nothing. So those people who could least afford it know that for 10 years, they're good. They're good for 10 years on their stormwater fees. We can't tell them that on their property taxes. We can't tell them that on the real estate taxes. But that's a big deal to know for 10 years, you don't pay a dime more for stormwater. And as far as tier two is concerned, you got an initial jump. But after that, with scenario two, again, you're good for 10 years. No increase. The only people, and then same is true for scenario three, but they had a pretty substantial increase. But again, those houses are over $1 million. They can afford it more than the person in the $300,000 home. So I would be, even though I would like to see a drop, I think we need to go with either tier one or two, tier two. And I'm kind of leaning.
Scenario
two or scenario one. I'm kind of leaning toward two simply because it gives the homeowner a guaranteed amount for 10 years.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Lynn.
Can you go back to scenario one again? Again, just saying that the idea that we raised, I'm not going to repeat everything I said, but the idea that we ended up as a council body voting to raise the portion that went to debt service, lowered the millage, but still kept extra so that people did see a little increase this year. And I just really feel very uncomfortable having us pass along an increase on something else, and we did say we would try to lower in other places. This is our opportunity to do so, but I'm also with Councilman Rambo on the fact that 10 years, this idea that we can guarantee something for 10 years, we all know circumstances change. In fact, they could change in either direction. Seems like it always ends up being the other one, the one where you end up having higher costs, not lower. I would much rather, I mean, I know you've done this work and it's great and it's very appreciated, but I'd much rather see something that's like for a four-year period, 4 or 5 years, rather than something that goes out, because now we're, yes, it can be changed, no question. The mayor already mentioned that. But if we're sitting here saying it's guaranteed for 10 years, but yet we can change it, you know, we're really not able to guarantee what a future council will do. So that's why I feel like maybe if we just stick to like the four-year one, where we just by the end of 4 years get the tier one folks back to that $60 mark, which is where they are now, so they aren't really harmed any differently. They aren't, it's not more, it's 98 cents more.
Okay. Can we reach a consensus maybe that we take a look at this and bring it back next month, and Tuesday we'll be voting on the budget, and then we'll have time to crunch some numbers and take a look. Does that sound good to council? Mm-hmm. All right. So how about we bring it back? Thank you all very much. It was great to see an idea go from a principle to actual numbers, and it's given us a great perspective. I want to commend staff and our consultants for that great work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. I have lost track of my agenda.
That's it.
That should be it. After we amended it, you ought to see, well, look at my, all right. So we already did the executive session and the post-executive session, so that would complete our agenda. I don't think we skipped anything. Anything else for this committee meeting? All right, then this committee meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.